In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How is it possible that so many of the people of Israel that had waited for the Messiah for more than 1,000 years did not recognize him when he came? In the reading that we read this past Friday, Christ explains that to us. He was responding to the Jews that rejected him, and one of the things that they were saying to him was, your testimony isn't true when you testify of yourself, because Christ very often would say things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so in John chapter 5, beginning with verse 31, Christ responded, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, when Christ says this, he's simply accepting their premise and saying that were I a mere man, my witness wouldn't be true if I'm testifying of myself. Later on in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, Christ says, even though I testify of myself, my testimony is true, because as God, his testimony is true. He speaks the truth. But the law of Moses said that in the mouths of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so were he a mere man, he needed other witnesses to verify his testimony. And then it says in verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. So John the Baptist was one witness to Christ, although he was a man, but he spoke for God as a prophet. And all the people were told in the Gospels went out to listen to him and to be baptized of him. So there was a time when most of the people were listening to what he had to say. And Christ is saying, if you'd listen to what he had to say, he was testifying of me, but there's a greater witness. Because he says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. No one could do the miracles that Christ did unless the Father had sent him to do them. And it's interesting to note, if you read Jewish literature, there's a Jewish document that's called, in English, you would translate it as the Generations of Jesus, and it's a mocking life of Christ that says all kinds of blasphemous things about him. But what's one thing that's interesting about it is what it concedes about Christ, not what it says, because many of the things that it asserts are false. But it concedes that he worked miracles. It just accused him of having been some sort of a magician or a sorcerer who was doing these things by the power of the devil. So the Jews didn't say, these are not wondrous works that you're seeing. They just said, these are lying wonders that are worked by the power of the devil. But the devil couldn't do the things that Christ did. The devil can't raise someone from the dead. The devil can do a lot of things that look miraculous, and the devil can play all kinds of tricks on people that will amaze many people who are not discerning. But there are some things that the devil just can't do, because he's not the master of life and death. And so when the Jews denied that Christ worked these miracles by the power of God, this is where, as Christ says elsewhere in the Gospels, that they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And then beginning with verse 37, it says, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. They didn't listen to the voice of God in Scripture. They didn't listen to the voice of God through the prophet John the Baptist. And here, they had God in the flesh standing right before them, speaking to them, and they didn't hear the voice of God in him or recognize who he was. Later on in the Gospel of John, we're told that the apostle Philip asked Christ, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And then Jesus answered him and said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? The Jews Christ was speaking to didn't hear his voice. They didn't see God in Christ because they would not listen or see. And so the word of God was not in them. And so when they read the scriptures, they derived no benefit from them. In verse 39, Christ tells the Jews that were rejecting him, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Christ doesn't fault them for having studied the Scriptures. He tells them that they should search the Scriptures more diligently. They thought that they had life because they studied the Scriptures and they prided themselves in their knowledge of the Scriptures, but they received no benefit because when they were reading, they weren't listening. When they would read the Scriptures, they wouldn't allow the Word of God to enter into them and to change their hearts and to actually put what they were reading in Scripture into practice. And so, despite the fact that they were studying the Scriptures, it wasn't combined with a humble and obedient heart and a will that would listen to the Word and do it. Verse 40, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." The fathers point out that Christ didn't say, "You can't come unto me," because it wasn't that they didn't have the ability to come unto him, because Christ calls all men unto him. The offer of salvation is to every man. But these people were choosing not to come to Christ, that they would have life. Verse 41, "I received not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." They didn't have the Word of God abiding in them, and they didn't hear his voice, and they didn't see who Christ was because they didn't have the love of God in them. So you might ask, well, how do I get the love of God in me so that I can get benefit from reading the Scriptures? Well, if you want to get the love of God in you, you have to fan the flame of God's love by doing what the Scriptures tell you to do, and especially by loving the image of God that you see all around you in your neighbor. And then the fathers talk about that when Christ says, "I come in my Father's name and you don't receive me, but another will come in his own name and him you will receive." What the fathers say is that this is speaking about the Antichrist. And obviously, he's not saying that these people who are alive at that time would be the ones that would receive the Antichrist, but that people of their mindset and spirit would one day be presented with the false Messiah, the Antichrist, and even though he was coming in his own name, they would receive him. They would receive him because he would say the kinds of things that they wanted to hear and would be the kind of a Savior that they wanted, not one that actually challenged them to live for God, but one that affirmed them in their sins. Verse 44, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" If you want to hear the voice of God in Scripture, you have to seek to please God rather than man. You have to be more concerned with what God thinks than you are with what other people think. And this is one of the big problems that we have in our time, because increasingly we're surrounded by people who are not just indifferent to the gospel, but are openly hostile and mock it. And people who are Christians are trying to come up with some way that they can be accepted by these people. And so they're giving up a little ground here and a little ground there. They're changing their definitions of what morality means, because they're trying to be acceptable to these people. But the only way they will ever be acceptable to these people is if they join them in completely rejecting Christ. We can't be like that. We have to say, regardless of what you may think of me, you may think that I'm a rube, an idiot, a bumpkin, whatever, I'm going to do what God told me to do, because it's what God thinks that matters to me, not what you think. Verse 45, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And there are many places in the law of Moses that talked about Christ and foretold his coming. But one of the clearest prophecies that we have is in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Moses said to the people of Israel, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And when he says, "unto him ye shall hearken," he was telling them, you should listen to this person. And some of them did, but many more chose not to listen to them, and so Moses will be their accuser at the day of judgment. Of course, these people prided themselves as being followers of Moses, and so to be told that Moses would be their accuser had to be a real slap in the face. But how much greater will the condemnation be for those of us who not only have the law and the prophets, like the people that Christ was speaking to, but we also have the Gospels and the apostles and their writings, and we still don't listen to the voice of God in them, because we either can't be bothered by reading them at all, or because when we do read them, we read them with closed hearts, and we don't have the love of God in our hearts as we read them. If we will read the Word of God, and we will actually do what it says, if we'll read it with faith and put it into practice, we will be able to see what God is trying to tell us in the Scriptures, because God has written all the whole of Scripture for our edification. We often will ask, I wonder what God wants me to do. I wonder what God would have me do. Well, we have a whole book of instruction from God telling us how He would have us live our lives. And if we neglect that, we can't say, well, God is not guided me. I don't know what to do. God never gives me any indication as to how I can please Him. No, there's an entire book for you to read to learn what to do. So open it up and read it and put it into practice. Christ stands at the door of our hearts and He knocks. And as Christ tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed.